always be funny.
Nice work, you dunce.
It's good making a resurgence.
Oh, dude, if you rolled up to high school now, you're like, fuck, they're dressing like we did in the late 90s.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 2001, you know?
I noticed that.
Trip.
We're rolling.
Full circle.
We're rolling.
It's like when Bell Bottoms came back.
Yeah, you know?
For us. Yeah, really. Like the rave pants.
We're rolling.
The rave
we're rolling.
Pants.
Yeah. We're rolling.
Janko jeans.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Mick.
All right, everything's looking pretty good.
Us with the Mick.
Intro.
What is up, guys? This is These Two a Podcast. Yeah, what's up? It's been a busy couple of weeks. We haven't done an episode, so I'm glad to see you guys.
I miss my boys.
I am Mick, aka Mixtradamus.
Mixtradamus.
Uh-huh. He's gonna make that joke.
Mick Guyver.
He's gonna make that joke every podcast.
Every time it's getting old.
Nickelodeon.
It's gotten
Nickelodeon.
Old. It was old. It's been old, and then it's still old, and he's still making it. That joke.
I mean, it's still funny. I'll tell you what it still is.
It's still funny. It's a pun. It doesn't have the staying power you think it does.
Yes,
man.
It does.
Watch. It's going to come full circle, and then next time, for some reason, both of us are going to laugh at it. Hi, I'm Anthony. I'm Third Mike on the Stool Podcast, and I'm here in this seat this week. Gracefully, because
Johnny's our pork bitch. That fucking bitch.
And I am Johnny.
Well, I mean, FNB.
I want to try something too, Mick and Anthony. Yo, Johnny, aka Johnny Savage, vocalist and the Dunce, bass player for DNG. That's pretty much it. I have some solo rap shit too. Mick, go ahead. Tell the people again what you do. Not quietly, but
well. We're not there. I was transmitting Bluetooth. It was a Bluetooth. I thought it was syncing up for a second. No,
device connected.
Well, I sing, and I play guitar, and I produce music, and I do this fucking thing with you guys. Isn't that fucking cheeky?
And who do you sing for?
Oh. What the fuck you mean?
Hey, the people that are watching need to know.
People need to know nothing. Okay, I'll tell you guys. I sing for the Dunce. I sing for a band called Cherry Coyote that's going to be coming out pretty soon.
Nice. Yeah, that's CC.
Play guitar. Yeah. Played a lot of things in my life. So here I am. So yeah, Johnny, why don't you go ahead and tell us who we...
Yeah, introduce our fucking guest, Johnny.
Hey, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Look, the thing is,
fuck. I want to tell
people. Come on, bitch.
I want to tell the people who we are again, because they might not know.
No.
Yeah, there's new listeners every week.
Every week there's new listeners, yes.
They don't know. They might not know who we are.
But you need to prioritize.
Yeah.
We have a whole stratagem in place
stratagem
here.
Stratagem is not a word.
Stratagem is definitely a word, you asshole. Yeah, it's a word, you asshole.
I'll use it.
Oh, man. You just revealed your small vocabulary.
It's a stratagem.
All right, go.
All right. And we got our guests in here today. First of all, one of my closest homies, mine and Mick, we know him for a long time, Mr. Nathan Young.
What's up, guys?
Yo, yo.
What do you do, Nate? Tell him what you do.
Oh, what up? I am Nathan. I own Youngblood Productions. I play in Green Jello. I've played in a lot of bands. And yeah.
Put that mic a little closer to your face.
Put it closer. I own Youngblood Productions. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Good.
So we do, production, live music event production, and we're promoters and book different shows and bands on several venues throughout SoCal. And then I also play in a band called Green Jello and some other tributes.
Nice. What is the other tribute? You're wearing the shirt right now.
Oh, this one coming
new
up.
School.
I was singing for a Slipknot tribute, but I'm starting a new one now. So hit me up. I'm looking for members.
Sick.
And, but this is my friend's New School. It's new metal comedy tribute. And actually,
oh, I thought you were in that project.
Well, I'm kinda like, gotcha. I get up and do guest appearances. So I'll throw on my, Corey Taylor gear, Slipknot gear, nice, with the mask, and I'll get up and sing a song with them.
Sick.
And I'm singing some Korn songs with them too.
Hell yeah.
So, and then we're having a bunch of guests for that show the day before Halloween at the Whiskey Go-Go.
Nice.
So, yeah, man. We're going to have a Danzig tribute on that too. That's I'm also throwing the show.
Nice.
So I'm
nice.
A promoter at the Whiskey as well. So.
Got you.
Perfect. I just really started getting into those guys too.
Who, Danzig?
Danzig.
Barely?
Not Mother. Barely.
Well, no. Mother. I mean, like that's the number one reference.
I'm revisiting that shit.
Oh, got you.
You know what I mean? I'm just like, oh, this is like...
This is the bee's knees, man.
So like,
there's a whole culture to that
you know
one.
Right,
band.
Right.
Crazy.
Tell them I love all the Glenn Danzig memes.
Moving.
All the memes out there.
All the memes.
That's great.
Nico Garcia, correct?
Yep. How you guys doing, man?
Pretty good.
Playing a band called Breaking Serenity. Guitarist and a bunch of other shit behind closed doors. I don't even know what the
this
fuck
is. The guy of all guys.
Dig into that. Go. Yeah. He got his long intro. Take your long intro.
Go for it, Nico.
Yeah. Well, I play guitar and feel like
production and stuff, or what?
I feel like I'm kind of like the manager behind closed doors. Just always coordinating everything and just keeping everyone on track. I feel like I don't know.
Yeah. He definitely keeps
me
structured.
Babysitter.
Yeah,
that's the best way to put it. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
All right, Sinister Styles.
Yep, Sinister Styles. I'm a motherfucking piece of shit, but the best guy ever.
Only Raiders fans are pieces of shit, so that's okay.
And I mean, we will take the measures to blur out your hat throughout the whole podcast.
Yes. It's going to get blurred. I'll throw a nice 49er logo right on your helmet.
Please don't do that.
This is going to be the topic of the whole show, the Raiders.
But so I'm Sinister Styles. I do vocals for Breaking Serenity. I'm sick. One of the main vocals. I also have a side project called it's hardcore beatdown called Basilisk. It's on the rise. And I'm a versatile artist. I got some rap shit in the work. I got some hardcore. I know, super dope. Huh?
Basilisk is good.
So I do hardcore beatdown. I do fucking vocals for Breaking Serenity. I'm a hardcore mosher. And if anybody needs me at their shows to start pits, I will do that. Especially when you're sound checking, I will be there to bring the fucking ruckus.
Okay. I'm inviting you to my next show.
I will definitely be there.
We need you to go crazy. We need you to hurt somebody.
Is that a thing? Is BTFR a thing already? Bring the fucking ruckus. Is that a thing?
That should just be a shirt.
It should be a thing.
I actually
do like that.
Bring the fucking ruckus. BTFR, man. If we start that and coin that today, that's all from you, bro.
Hell yeah.
There you go.
An abbreviated, that sounds like a new Basilisk shirt right there.
There you go, dude.
Hell yeah.
Nice. All right. Let's get into it, guys. Let's have some fun.
So, how are you guys doing?
You guys take the lead.
Man.
How about we do that? Let them take the show.
Yeah, you guys go ahead. We're just going to sit back and chill.
So do we ask you questions?
Yeah. You host us. Ask us questions. No, honestly, it's good. We'll take it one by one. I don't know if you guys want to go counterclockwise or whatever, but tell us the story about Breaking Serenity. We're saying some super interesting stuff about your collaboration element to your band. Tell it everything.
Yeah.
You want to tell.
Well, I can start how it all started. So technically, this project was probably like the root of it started like 12 years ago, and with Mike Terry of Volumes. But when he was in Barrier Dead, it was an online project. And then just long story short, kind of never took off. So 12 years later. I took a long hiatus from music. I just got back into the game and I'm just fucking going hard. I actually brought that project that never saw light to light. Mm-hmm. And our first album, we have 27 collaborators on it, and we're just networking hard, and we just played our first show back in March with Nate.
Yeah, it was a self-inflicted fest. It was our first one. March at the Tiki Bar in Costa Mesa.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because they do a bunch of collabs with a bunch of different artists. You can tell them more about that. But we had them all at the show. We booked all the bands. So then they were all there to collab on their set and have all the guest singers and musicians come up.
It'd be a lot of crossover. Someone hops on stage, does vocals. Or is it just collaboration with vocals? Or is it collaboration
with instrumentals? We got keyboard. We got vocals. Yeah. We got guitar. We got bass.
That's cool. Here is the moment to name
the audacity of you guys.
So cool. On our album, we have Alexia Rodriguez from I Set the Kill. Mike Terry of Volumes. We got Australian producer and keyboardist Mystique.
Okay.
And we have a ton of local artists, Against the Sun, Scarlet Siren,
Rain Brings Weather.
Rain Brings Weather.
Where It Lies.
Where It Lies. Luna Sea.
Fate Destroyed, which is now the Fatalist.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, I literally, before the podcast started, we were talking about how, like, I'm doing a Christmas album. Like, I'm doing, like, a little solo Christmas album. Or it's all Christmas covers. And it is very gay. That's why Johnny is going to be part of it.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to do a bunch of Christmas covers. I was telling him, like, you guys got to hop on a track or we got to do, you know, one of the songs together. And, like, I love that concept and just kind of happenstance that you guys come in and you're like, oh, yeah, that was our record, is we just had all these... I'm guessing sort of like mostly centric to SoCal, right?
Actually, we did go.
You said Australia and stuff like that, but mostly from SoCal, right?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. But I think we got far as Italy and South Africa.
Yeah, that's fucking cool, man.
Sick.
Yeah. That's so cool.
It's honestly the best thing I could think of, because we like, so our album is called Letter from Pandemic. You can find us on every streaming platform possible. We got 17 songs with 27 collaborators, like he said, from all around the world, you know, as far as our next door neighbors, all the way down to Italy and South Africa and even Australia and stuff. So this is the madman behind all of the madness. Like, he would text me at like 4 a.m. He's like, hey, bro, we got somebody from Africa. And I was like, what the fuck? And then the same night, he would text me later on, and it'd be like 12 or like 11 o'clock. He's like, hey, bro, we got somebody from Australia. And I'm like, dude, where the fuck are you finding these people?
Digging into that a little bit. I mean, I know, because I work with people who work in different states and stuff like that. You know, you talk online, you share stems, stuff like that. Explain that process for the normal listener who doesn't really get what that means, because it's like you share tracks with them, they do vocals or they do their part, and then they send them back.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's what we would do. Just to figure out how we would make it happen. Yeah. So the crazy story about us is, like, you know, when you look at us, like people are like, you know, these guys, how are these guys doing it? We don't fucking know. We're just,
flying by the seat of your pants is usually how you get shit done.
Yeah. My advice to everyone is just be confident. Don't be afraid of rejection. Don't be afraid of no.
That's a good, honestly, I like that sentence in general right there. The don't be afraid of rejection thing is a really important principle.
Well, we'll get you guys to that point to where you want to do that many collaborations.
So we honestly just asked a question and just ran with it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we got there because we had a goal in mind, but we just threw a lot of shit out there to just get progress. But the thing is, we didn't get a lot of rejection, to be honest. People were down with it, and it just kind of grew.
You'd be surprised, man. Yeah. People just like want to create.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Sometimes they just want to be involved in something fun, and
exactly,
the music's good enough. Like, hey, fucking, I got my home recording set up or whatever. And
yeah, so what kind of happened was I sent mass emails and DMs out, and then I, for example, out of like 20, I would expect like,
watch the table, Johnny.
I would expect like I would expect like half of them to say no, but they all said yeah. So we're like, I told Sinister, like,
I'm a little drunk already.
I don't want to decline anybody. Let's just fucking throw them all on there. Let's figure this out. So
that's brilliant though. You know? I mean, I'm sure there's other people who've done something similar, but I love the idea that like you're just like, fuck it. Like, let's do it on all of our songs.
Yeah. And so now what we're trying to do live, we're trying to bring that. We want to create a performance and show for people. So now we're at the point where we want to bring those collaborators live, and even if those people can't do it in particular,
have somebody or something like that.
Yeah. So we want to throw a performance, a show for people.
And that's cool.
Yeah, it's crazy because even when we
it's
do
almost interactive.
Live, yeah, you know? Exactly. If we don't have that specific person for that song, we always have a backup, and then that backup, we have a backup on top of our backup, and it's just people are just so eager to join our shit. It's just so fucking crazy.
So yeah, our next one next week is with Nate.
This coming Saturday, October 5th, at Stages in Santa Ana.
Stages.
This is the second self-inflicted fest. It's called Self-Inflicted Infected Fest. So so this one's all different bands that were involved in their collab on the album.
That's dope.
And so like we book them all on the show, same things we did last time, and plus additional bands on the show. We have 11 bands.
Yeah. Okay.
And we have Vixen Pole Fitness. So their other singer, the female singer Jackie, she's in those Vixen Pole Fitness.
Shout out Jackie, like big classes. Sis, love you.
Okay. They do classes of performances and stuff.
Okay.
And so they're actually doing a full set at midnight. and so with it's, the pole it's a, and everything.
To clarify, it's like a pole show?
It's a pole fitness that they do.
No nudity, but I mean, they look great.
Yeah. I was like...
I was in until you said no.
Yeah, that's the day for this one more time.
That's right.
Yeah. Everybody hears pole and then they're like, oh, strippers. And they do it, like, no, do it's they do it
like music?
Yeah. We actually have a dance theme song that we're playing. And so they're going to be performing with us on stage. So, and then,
Johnny, you couldn't have gotten those. You couldn't have gotten that.
I will say this. Nathan was totally pushing for it. Nathan was really pushing for it, but we can only accommodate three. I mean, where would we put them? I mean, we could have each one on our laps, I guess.
This podcast needs pole dancers. I've been saying it since the beginning. We had the opportunity.
We could put a picture set up of these chicks in the corner.
You can do a whole other show with them too. Yes. And they're out here. What are they? Redlands?
In Marietta.
Be anybody. You don't have to want to be a dancer at a strip club or anything. I love the idea because they
bring it into a whole new element, a new like
it's like a sport almost.
Exactly.
Now.
You have a whole and new a fun angle thing on it, you know?
So and my again, idea with that was, hey, let's try this out with the rock show. Me and Nico were talking. I'm like,
and how do people respond?
If we put them at midnight,
you'll be surprised.
A lot of men would want to stay. I'm sure there's a great response, right? Yeah.
I figured a lot of men would want to stay till midnight
to see it. We advertise that and they'll see all the bands, you know, up until that point, and then hopefully stay after and people will stay because the bar wants to be selling drink. It'll kind of help everybody and it'll just be fun.
I mean, it sounds super rock, metal, and beautiful women. Some guy with his homie, he's like, you guys want to leave? He's like, nah, wait.
We gotta stick around. I have a gut feeling it's gonna get really good here pretty soon.
That's awesome, man.
I think that's what shows need more of. Like the last time we had Digital Panic on, we were talking to them about how one of my buddies, he's starting like a taco vendor kind of business that's only going to be at shows, right? I was like, cool. That's brilliant, dude. That's how you, a guy like that.
Our friend Mike Lear from Where It Lies did that. He started Birria. I'm probably not saying it right, but Birria. I hooked him up at Rockefeller's. He does stuff there every weekend.
Yeah, see, to me, I think that's brilliant. There's like a like
Birria stand.
Instinctually, you want to say it's like adding a gimmick to shows. No, it's like shows. We've been all attending them for 20 plus years now and shit. Like, it's like when you find a show with a cool little angle to it,
exactly, fun.
It makes you want to attend it a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and that's what we need to do is help get the attendance up on all those rock shows, you know, exactly. I know we all kind of came up in probably the same era, you know, like the early aughts and, you know, late 2000s and stuff. But there was this life to those events that it's like you saw it like disappear for a while and then you're seeing it come back now.
Yeah, it's all nostalgic at this point. Exactly.
It's thanks to like us people, you know, getting creative with how to do the venues, how to do the events, you know, every
yeah, I was going to attract people. There's so many things going on in Southern California. It's a beast.
How are you going to draw people? It's not like anywhere else.
You go on tour, that's the thing going on that weekend out of state here. God, you got the movies, you got this, I mean, you got the haunted houses, you got the theme parks, you got other shows and dance clubs. And how do we get people to come to our show?
How many times has it happened to you? Because you probably book a lot of events or you know, you're familiar with that process where you're like, okay, cool. I set up this event on this date or whatever, like months ahead or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then you see a fucking flyer on Instagram or Facebook and it's like this huge event.
Speaking about the Creed show, half an hour down the street.
And you're like, fuck. And even
with Self-Inflicted Fest, like the day that we do Self-Inflicted Fest or Self-Inflicted Fest, Korn is going to be at Glen Helen. And it's like, you know, and then we have Homer's like, oh, we got Korn tickets. We're like, hey, fuck you if you go to Korn, bro. Like, our shit is the performance.
How many times have you seen Korn? Yeah. How many times have you seen us?
Exactly. I just booked a show with New School up in the high desert at Big Rock. And we do two stage, outdoor stage, indoor stage. And we bring the outdoor stage in. And we've been doing fest. It's been going off up there. So the same night, I didn't even know about it. That whole long day Creed thing at Glen Helen, what goes
Creed, Three Doors Down. There's like bands all day.
Yeah, my family went to that.
Yeah.
I had to work. They had a ticket for me, but I had to work.
Yeah, people still showed up to our show, but it wasn't packed. It wasn't packed to our show because we were literally 20 minutes down the street. And then Snoop Dogg was playing that night too.
What time did the show start?
Like your guys' show. 2 or 3 p.m.
Your guys' show started at 2?
Like 3, yeah.
Okay. And then the Glen Helen was like the same, right?
Fuck. All day. That's where everybody was. And then other people were up Snoop Dogg in Atlanta.
So, oh, yeah. Man.
So it was slow, but there's still enough people to, you know, to be in front of the bands to support.
Well, that's
usually
surprising
packed
thing.
Up there.
You'd be surprised, man, how like spread out sometimes the audiences are, you know, whether it's like they can't afford the ticket, something like that.
Yeah.
People just want to have a good time that Saturday. And to me, it's like, I wish I had some sort of superpower of predicting, like, this is a weekend that's not going to get occupied. And then when everyone's thirsty for some shit to do, they're all going to show up at my show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Nico has like the kind of the eye for that. Like, he'd be like, oh, we could do it on this day and this day and this time. Like, bro, it's like months out. How the fuck are you going to like try to even
predict that shit?
And he always is right, bro. Like every time he's come up with an idea, I've never said no, and he's got us to where we are right now. So anytime he has something, I'm like, bro, just fucking run with it. I full wholeheartedly 100% pursue
it.
Let's go.
Our singer in Green Jello, Bill Manspeaker, he has the craziest ideas, and I just know to roll with it because it's freaking genius, and they always work.
Yeah, these guys are the guys, man.
No, I'm just kidding.
You're totally allowed to. That's
no,
totally.
I know, but I feel
that's
weird.
He's your butler. Effectively, he's your butler.
Yeah. Oh, with the cap off? This guy is so bad.
He's got it.
I feel weird, like, being like, it's funny.
It is funny. You don't get to do it.
Johnny's amazing.
Yeah, we buy a little board bitch of the year trophy.
He's like this big.
You might see that movie. The other guys, they're like, paper bitch.
Yeah,
Will Ferrell movie.
But overall, yeah, I think it's really good. I think overall, I think you just need to be really strategic and, you know, work together. And cause like I said, the industry, it's hard, man. It's fucking hard.
Promotion is this ever adapting game. You know, we talk about it a lot, you know, and I mean, you guys, I love your guys' approach to that. I like that idea. It was like, here, we know all these people. Let's get them involved. That, to me, instantly adds this formed credibility to your music.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know if that's your intent or whatever, but that to me, immediately, that's what I perceive.
Well, yeah, to me, it's just like teamwork because, you know, there's still,
really cool.
Believe it or not, I mean, as you know, as hard as the industry already is, there's still a lot of fucking egos out there that just need to be dropped. Like, dude, it takes a whole team to move anything these days.
So
you need to work together.
I think we're finally seeing the fallout of the age of like, oh yeah, cool. All these musicians realize they could make music by themselves, right? And so the scene gets oversaturated with solo artists, and then that doesn't ever get as huge as it could be when there's like five really smart, really good musicians doing a project, making something happen, and that makes this awesome band. It's not as good when, you know, each of them are doing something by themselves.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like now we're seeing the fallout of years of that happening, and then you see all these bands that were like in their heyday, huge bands, and they broke up, and now they're getting back together and doing reunion tours.
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, it's like, because they realize, hey, the better music isn't behind us just doing what we want. It's behind us, you know, kind of collaborating. That's the important part.
Yeah,
it's very lost on a lot of people these days. Yeah, the collaboration.
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of people are still being hard headed. They want to just do everything themselves.
Yeah, no, I mean I would say you guys kind of are pushing that in the opposite direction. Take that to an entire other level, and that I like that. I think that's really cool. It's impressive. Man. There's a little chaos going on in the studio right now. Let's audio.
We thrive in the chaos, man.
So yeah, behind closed doors, it's nothing about what we're doing.
You guys said you live together.
Yeah,
we all live together. It's the funniest thing ever. Like
one other member also lives in the house. We live in a. I just moved there in April. Yeah. In Corona.
It's funny because me and Nico, we actually, when I first moved in, me and him, we shared the same room, and like how this room is set up. Like, he'd be on one side, I'd be on the other side, and we'd be like, all right, good night, bro. It's like, all right, good night, bro. And we wake up, and I'm like, oh, good morning, man. It's like, oh, good morning.
And then wake up naked and sweaty and sticky, and they didn't know why.
No, I would wake up to coffee and donuts.
I dreamt about it.
Who amongst us?
How'd that happen? You guys just like, were just like, let's fucking do it.
Let's fucking rip each other's clothes off.
Like,
what are you
honestly,
talking about?
It came,
I'm talking about moving in.
We're moving in with each other.
No, it's a funny story because like it's we call it the house of heartbreak because like I was going through some shit. Like Nate was going through some shit. Nico was going through some shit. Our other guy, we were all going through some shit. And it just all happened to be like, hey, bro, like you got some extra space because Nico owns the house. So hey, bro, you got some extra space? And he's like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. So we all moved in. And then it got to a point where I was like, hey, bro, like, where are we going to be at? And, like, Nate got his solidified room and Chris got his solidified room. And I'm, because I'm a wildlife firefighter, so I'm always going different type, hot shots, shout out hot shots, fuse forcers. I'm always going to different places. I'll be gone for, like, 14 days and I'll be home for, like, 3 days. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, bro, I need a spot, but I kind of just need, like, a small spot.
Temporary.
Temporary.
Here and there.
And he's like, oh, I'll just put you in the room. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about.
We all know he's joking, but like on the phone call or whatever it was, he like literally like had to like, thanks, bro.
He's like, yeah, I got a spot. Don't worry about it.
And then my daughter was living with us because I had my youngest 17 and she's living with me when we moved in. And so I was renting two rooms there. And then, but recently she wanted to move back to her mom's, repair relationship with her mom and all that. We'll talk about that. But so AJ moved in like permanent and took over her room when she moved out recently.
But even though I'm in that room, I'll still go up to Nico like, hey, bro, you want something to eat? Like, you want a soda or something? And I'll close the door and I'll open it. But you got enough pillows? Blake, I got another one. And I'll close it again. I'm like, hey, bro, I'm about to watch a movie. You want to watch it with me? Like,
yeah, we got the movie room. If I live with you, you're not going anywhere.
We got the little music section because we're all musicians.
They have a room dedicated
next to the pool table.
Yeah. Is it like a plug-and-play jam room when you guys want it?
Yeah, that's literally how it is.
That's pretty sick. That's always been a dream of mine. It's like to be in a band. We own a space where it's like, hey, guys, meet you here. Even if we live together, don't live together. But if we have a space, hey, meet you here at this time. And then we just play. Yeah. You don't have to worry about holding
it's kind of like home jam, like practice. I mean, because we all still practice and rehearse with our bands at actual studios.
Yeah, we got three vocalists.
Do you guys home record stuff? Or
no, not really. We kind of we'll do videos because like we recently found out like in the living room, like the acoustics are phenomenal. So we'll do like small portions here and there and stuff. And like Nate will be in the garage doing his vocals, trying to get videos, and I'll be in the living room right next to the pool table setting up my shit.
What's your guys' recording process?
We got this home studio in Redlands called Room 9. Shout out Jerry. It's your spot, bro. I was actually going there for when I was from like 18 to like present day and stuff. And then when I got with Nico about 5 years ago, I was like, hey, bro, I got this home studio and stuff. Because like me and him, we have a pretty funny story how we got together and stuff. And
you want to sign for that and tell that real quick? Or
I'll start that one. I love that story.
And we just got to remember to circle back to the recording process.
So it actually plays out perfectly because me and Nico, we used to work at a warehouse in Fontana. Fuck that place. But it actually started off of the band called Misery Signals. I just pulled up on him.
I know Misery Signals.
I pulled up on him on my forklift. I was like, hey, bro, I know you like metal. Do you know this band called Misery Signals? Oh, yeah, I love that band. I was like, cool, I'll catch you later. Beep, beep, drove off. And at the end of the day, I was like, yeah, bro, like what's up? Like, what do you know? What do I know? And we've all vibed off the same bands. And then he told me, he's like, yeah, I have all this music that I need a vocalist for. And I was like, how funny is that? I'm a vocalist, bro. I was like, send me a track. He sent me a track that day. I listened to it. I booked the studio same day. The next day, I was like, bro, we got to try this shit. We went and we did two songs. At the time, they were called Never and Searching for Wildness. We did it with just my vocals. And then we liked how everything was, posted it on YouTube. I think we got like close to like 5 or 10,000 views off of 2 weeks. And then we took it down, scrapped it, started building everything up. And then I told him, I was like, bro, Room 9 is the best place to be because they're good prices, good people, good everything quality, that has to do with audio and all that stuff. So then we kind of made that our permanent music or recording studio. Yeah, recording studio and stuff. And then we just kind of started branching out more.
So real quick, just to clarify, because I kind of got a little lost. So when you started, you were a vocalist?
Yeah, I was a vocalist.
You were the vocalist. And how were you guys doing the instrumentation, the drums? How did you guys record all that stuff?
He actually had all that stuff.
All that stuff
from prior.
Okay, yeah. So how do you do that part?
Like
writing the drums and all that stuff. Is that like?
It was a little mixed of having a producer write it, or we actually had live drums come in.
Okay,
so we kind of just figured everything out as we went.
What do you focus on mostly when it comes to writing?
Mostly just my guitar parts. For this past album, I'm actually not a songwriter, but I did pretty much write most of these lyrics. They came from a lot of personal experiences. Okay. So yeah, so a lot of that album is actually very personal.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah. Family stuff, fucking my divorce. Like I almost died like 3 times. So we kind of put all of
story, bro.
that one is stupid long. So we'll do that one on a different date. But yeah, so I was in divorce, almost died.
Patreon episode.
He was going through his own shit. And then we kind of just got together and we formed all of our lyrics and vocals around the bullshit that we were going through. And then at the time while we were doing it, it was through the pandemic. So that's when our album came out as Letters from a Pandemic. Uh-huh. So each song is a letter from the shit that we were going through.
Now, in the state of things, are you still just the vocalist or you do vocals? What are you guys both
I'm still
do?
Just the vocalist. Yeah. Okay. And then he's the main guitar.
Yeah. They have two vocalists.
Okay.
Jackie is
three technically.
Well, yeah, we technically have three now.
Okay,
three,
the whole lineup of the band, excluding yourselves, who are we missing here?
So we're missing Chris. I'm sorry, Chris. Your last name is hard to say. But we have Chris.
Hold on. Johnny knows Chris's other band, DMT.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Chris, he's in this band, his other band called DMT, and he's with us. And then our other female vocalist, Jackie, who also does Pole Fitness in Murrieta. Okay. Check them out. And then we have Mark Hogan, he's our bassist. Bass and player. Then our drummer was originally Stevie Peralta, but now we're kind of like open. So we're looking for a drummer. We have a fill-in right now. Okay. And he's a super cool guy, but we're trying to solidify another drummer.
Johnny probably knows the drummer too. It's Ted from Fused by Defiance, and he was in the North
before. Yeah, he's our fill-in right now.
He's doing
that's
some shows
crazy. Which, and also speaking of Fused by Defiance, the artist I manage, Cinnamon Babe, all of her musicians are Fused by Defiance, and Taj, the singer from Fused by Defiance, plays bass. What? And then Teddy plays drums.
That's
crazy. It's all this full circle is crazy.
Full circle, bro. It's so funny how small the IE music scene is.
That's super interesting. I'd actually appreciate it if you just don't talk to him moving forward. We're kind of trying to having a he's ever heard the AB conversation thing. He's got to see himself out of it.
I mean, not only is it those are kind of like
I try my best to go in hard on Johnny because he's good at going in hard on the board bitch, whether it's me or Mick. We try to keep up with him because he's both good at being the board bitch and then also good at giving the board bitch shit. So we're trying to keep up with
So he's the dunce today.
Yes, he's exactly the
dunce
today.
All right.
Exactly.
But okay, so I mean, with all of I can't even imagine. You have 17 tracks. You guys have studio musicians coming in to, you know, do drums and stuff for you. How much are you guys open to talk about how much it costs to do?
Yeah, you know what? Everyone we work with is really kind and
generous with it.
Yeah,
I lean myself off of, man, is people who just want to work on stuff for real.
If you're eager, we'll get you.
Yeah, as costly as everything typically is for everybody else, but we just have a good relationship with everybody. So it's not as bad as you would think.
Honestly. I mean, I'll play bass on some tracks for you guys.
Can I say something? Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up, dude.
Yeah.
Who asked you?
He keeps chiming in like he has a fucking place in his podcast. Shut up.
No, but yeah, with what we do, I'm not going to lie, there's a lot of chaos and a lot of weekly planning because, you know, our shows, we're dealing with a lot of collaborators, our schedules, but
I can't imagine what that's like.
It fucking happen. I mean, it's like a full-time job, dude.
Even in being in a band, just coordinating the four members to me is already a headache. Adding another member for every song you have in your set is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's getting harder because we just gained momentum. So we did our first show and then, our second show is again next Saturday with Nate, and then we're playing our third show is going to be Mike Z from 96.7 KCAL. For Powerman 5000, and then our fourth show the next day is with Trapped at Redlands at the District. So
The District and the District.
Yeah. So Steve Wilson, the promoter. Shout out.
Yeah, I've been like over 25 years.
Candy, man.
But I bring that up because it's just kind of all coming very quickly now. So now we're just gonna we have to deal with everything we've been dealing with now.
Yeah, you're just pushing through.
We just gotta muscle.
How do you guys sustain your stamina with that? That's so crazy.
We're still trying to figure that out.
I don't fucking sleep much.
Rudders.
Yeah, on top of that, I do a lot of social media. I do like content editing, and I also help out other artists. So by the way, if you ever need to hit me up,
a little promotional help.
Yeah, this is the guy.
Yeah, but no, it is crazy. I don't sleep much, and I'm just always on the fucking.
Eagle also these does bags promos just for bands cool. and companies too on social media.
Like photos or what do you mean?
Promotion. Like, but he has a business. If anybody needs shit, hit him up.
Type of promotion, this is your guy.
Lyric videos, custom content, social media management.
Make lyric videos and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
let's go through.
We all have it in one house.
Let's say we gotta nail down a top eight facets of Nico. What are all your eight talents? Because you're coming off you play guitar, you do production, you do promotion. I mean,
it's funny because I seriously hate talking about myself. But
yeah,
I show off.
That's why I'm giving you the pass by asking you. I get to inquire because you're on the show and everything. It's format. If anybody ever asked me to talk about myself outside of this, I would be red in the face, but you have the opportunity. I say go for it.
Nico, tell us why you're cooler than us. Go ahead.
He's like the nicest guy I've ever met in my life. It's insane. Just as a human being, as a roommate in the house, he's so nice. He's so nice. So if anybody ever gives him shit, I'm going to fuck him up.
He's getting red now. He's already getting more red.
No, he's a good dude.
But yeah, I mean, so you do lyric videos, so you're familiar with video work and all those programs and stuff. So how do you teach yourself all this stuff?
That's kind of the funny thing is I don't intentionally try to do these things. I just kind of ended up doing a lot of this stuff. So I make flyers for Nate. I've made recently made flyers for KCAL. Powerman 5000 just shared my flyer I made, so that was pretty cool.
That's tight.
But you make a lot of cool ass video reels. Funny and creative. Oh my god, they're good.
Yeah,
for bands.
You know what I'm noticing bands right now? So, do you do any audio engineering at all?
I feel like I maybe do a little bit.
Yeah. Are you looking at me?
He does so much, he doesn't even know what he does.
He's looking at me.
element of what he has to do. Yeah. It's like so small.
Well, because I feel like I kind of took a lot of these roles.
Yo, Jay Bird.
I just needed
to give me one of them Mai Tais or the what is it? Rita's
Jay Bird. That means naked from my.
No, I found myself at these situations where I just needed to figure things out where people needed things from me. So I just kind of just did it. And then I just started I realized, I can do this too. I can do
and
this
he's
too.
Good at it.
That's awesome.
It's kind of really hard to label
Renaissance
myself.
Man. Yeah. As they say.
Yeah. Yeah. Just,
exactly.
You know, hell yeah.
Yeah. So
very cool.
Yeah.
So. Very cool.
As I tell everybody, this is the guy of all guys. This fucking guy right here, man.
So. My thing is with them, and it's an inside joke. I'll figure it out. That's my thing.
Yeah. That, anytime people are like, well, how does he do it? He'll figure it out, man. Just leave him alone. He'll figure it out.
So one funny thing
is figure it out.
One funny thing, Nate actually just found this out recently. So when our first show, when I booked the show with them, we didn't even have a fucking band, dude.
Yeah, shit. It was just me and Nico.
It was me and AJ. And I said,
what's the timeline here? Give me a timeline.
How much time do you have to the deadline there?
So I think the show was last March. And then I think it was 4 or 5 months prior before that.
Okay.
And I had our collaborators. Because the album came out and I said, you know what? We can wait till we have everything and perfect. But that's not going to fucking happen. I just got back into music. I'm hungry. I want to get at the shit. So I told Nate, hey, I got these collaborators. You know, this is the songs we want to do. This is the show. I said, I have all the bands. And then so we put this together. He's like, yeah, dude, no problem. But
sometimes under your ass is what makes shit happen.
Exactly.
Bro.
Thriving in the chaos.
He kind of didn't know we didn't actually have the band.
I'm finding out literally right now.
You realize you deceived our contract? Yeah. I mean, you made it happen, but for a temporary period of time, you deceived our contract.
And then he's like, wait, what?
that's literally how it is. Like, he's amazing. The mastermind between everything. And I just agreed to it.
I mean, shit done, bro.
Dude, that's how the magic happens sometimes. Yeah, you fly by the seat of your fucking pants.
He's a hard worker too, man. Yeah. Like,
and there's people who refuse to say no. And if you do that, sometimes that's the only way moves get made, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, because I work hard with my business to set up show. I get it real. I love doing it. See, when we do something together, he's actually working hard too. So it's actually, it's kind of nice to get some little help here. Yeah. We're collaborating.
Exactly. Because
I'm always down to collaborate. I'm also on the Pinup Productions team. You know, I do production with them too. So, and besides, you know, Young Blood, my own company. So collaborating with other people, like there's one point, I think in late 2000s or whatever, where people were all, you know, different promoters and bands were real against each other, trying to fuck each other over.
Competition.
So weird. They end up shooting themselves in the foot, man. In this industry, we gotta all freaking help each other.
It's literally about making friends.
We gotta help each other.
It's literally about making friends.
Yeah.
It's such a stupid, simple concept is that literally, and they say this about Hollywood too or whatever, but like this is the one thing that working in... you know, in the SoCal music scene or whatever has taught me is that like, yeah, just be a friendly person and then everyone's going to be like,
why is it so hard for everybody?
Right.
Why is it so fucking hard?
He said it earlier.
It's simple as shit.
I hate egos. There's egos
floating
around.
That's the worst part of my job.
Hey, there's egos.
Camera on me. Stop it. Stop it.
That's like, literally, people, the egos are not going to listen to you.
I got an idea. How about your ego away? How about that? Okay,
homies like help homies. That's the biggest thing that I try to tell.
So speaking of egos, John, you have anything to say?
This is what I gotta say.
Crickets.
Hey,
this is what I gotta say. Niners are destroying the Patriots.
What I have to say is,
picks are on fire
next time
right
you
now.
Board, next time you board, sitting in my producer chair with the dildo up your ass.
It's the only way I can produce.
It gets dirty.
It
gets the chair dirty.
He's in the zone right now.
If you guys heard what he said, he said that stop sitting on my dildo. So he also sits on this dildo.
You guys share it?
Yeah. It's a double-sided. So sometimes
just got to be a little bit of spit.
I think that's the reason they're better at like being raw, the board bitch
raw
than
dog,
I am.
Raw dog.
I don't do that.
Raw rubber.
I don't fuck with that.
That explains the way he walks.
It's just dirty. It gets dirty.
He's got the John Wayne limp.
Giddy up, cowboy.
Give us your best howdy, hey, partner.
How? Oh, yeah, there we go.
How? Shut the fuck up.
That's stupid. Yeah. That sucked.
No, you're right. Fucking sucked.
I have a feeling that he's still really good at it, better more than us. Because he does this thing where it's like he'll blend himself in with the current conversation and then set it up to be like, I'm just fucking with you. You know?
Only sometimes.
Right. So we did our opening segment for like almost like what 30 minutes. Let's get into some songs.
That's 45 minutes of just riffing. That's good.
Let's go. Songs.
That's a good podcast.
I see Dying Wish up there. Fuck
Let's
yeah.
go.
Yeah, what you guys want to listen to?
Yeah,
let's go.
You
Dying
guys
Wish.
Elect.
Yeah, so Dying Wish specific part is 2 minutes and 50 seconds in.
I could do that. Yeah.
We love that. We got a lot of music today, so we could rush through this shit.
250.
Memories?
I'm gonna go 245.
Hell yeah. This is perfect.
The space.
Let's hear this out.
God, time has gone. That's a
problem. If you who don't know Dying Wish, listen to this band.
First of all,
nice.
First of all,
I love that band, man.
This brings me back. How old is this band?
They're actually a new band. This song in particular, so when she says, I turn my scars into pride, my bravery ends with straggery. When I got divorced, my ex-wife tried to kill me 3 times. Story for another day, but I'm fast forward. And she slit my throat. She stabbed me in the back. Literally, she slit my wrist. But because of that specific song.
Did the podcast direction just change entirely? It's crazy. Did it just change entirely?
He's told me
the story. We don't have to do any other segments.
This band and that song thrive off of fucking like traumatic instances, and because I heard this one song and that specific breakdown part, I'm gonna get that shit tatted in like the best way possible. But that shit resonated with me to like all the way to my fucking core, because like she said. I turn my scars into bravery. My struggle ends with I turn my scars into pride. My struggle ends with bravery. You get put into situations. You get put into like these traumatic instances. But the only way you can find your way out and persevere and get yourself back on your feet is if you fucking just keep going. Like, you don't stop. You don't dwell on the bullshit. You just fucking keep going. And if it wasn't for this guy right here to boost me up and be the nice guy that he is, I would still be in that fucking rut. But because of this song and this guy, is what makes Sinister Styles what he is right now. It's what makes my music what it is right now. It's what makes Basilisk coming out of the fucking woodworks and stuff. So
shit.
If nobody here has heard of Dying Wish, and everybody on this podcast, if you haven't heard of Dying Wish, please listen to them. And if Dying Wish happened to see this podcast, let me be a fucking collaborator. I will smash any song
hashtag live. Wish.
Hey, dude, that's how you attend shows. You get to that front row, and then you share that mic. That's the best way.
Can I ask you something?
What's up, man?
What about this song in particular that clicked with you the most? Was it the combination of the melody and the lyrics, or was it just the lyrics themselves? I'm trying to dig into what makes you tick as a writer.
Oh, fuck.
Because that is what defines.
Let me sit up, bro.
Because if you watch this podcast, I tend to kind of get into, I like to dig into the artist's brain to see what's, because I'm a producer. So I like to
fuck it.
I like to get what is the appeal. It's something for you to feel that way.
Yeah, leave that playing.
For top five, it's a female vocalist that's fucking raw
killer
and pure.
Yeah, she sounds great.
The lyrical scheme that she goes off of is fucking phenomenal. The band itself, live, studio, whatever it is, they just bring the fucking ruckus. And that's what I'm all about. The fourth one is the way that song makes me feel. Like, if I'm in the car and I'm playing that song and people are talking, I will pull the fuck over and tell you specifically, shut the fuck up. Dying Wish, Path Where My Grave is playing. If you don't want to listen to that, I'll make your bitch ass walk. And the fifth one is, I have 3 daughters. I love my baby girls. And no matter what song we're doing, what's playing in the car, what we're talking about, as soon as that specific song comes on, because it's the 5, 7, and 3. As soon as that song comes on and that specific part, 250, comes on, everybody's quiet. Everybody listens. Everybody just fucking vibes. Like, they're in the back. My baby's 3. She's in the car seat. She's just banging her head. My oldest, she's just singing the lyrics. And my middle one, she's a little gangster because she's just looking out the window, looking at everybody that's going by like, it's just that specific song puts all 4 of us in the aspect of, we went through some traumatic shit and we all came out of it alive and thriving.
Exactly.
That's exactly why that. This specific song.
I love
and
this.
Specific
and I would say,
about,
I mean, yeah. Even just illustrating it the way you just did, in like, I mean, in like just putting it in that small form, like bands, I'm sure they thrive off of that shit. Just hearing stories exactly. Like you just told, where it's like, yeah, me and my whole family, like my daughters, my, you know, like we're all affected by this piece of music. That probably means the world. I know if someone were to tell me that as a musician, this piece of music that you made, we bump it in the car, my daughters give a shit about it. Like, that would change my life.
Yeah. Anybody that rides with us, as this song comes on, they know if you speak, I will disrespect you. This is fucking family time. Dying Wish is playing. Shut the fuck up and just enjoy it wherever we're going.
Sick. You know, family time for me, I was forced to play Monopoly for 4 hours. Yeah, so your daughters are very fucking fortunate. I'm just going to say that right now. Yeah. Family time, listening to Dying Wish, not so bad. Not so bad, okay?
I think they play Blue Ridge the last year, but the year before that I went to in Virginia.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I saw I caught some of their set. Yeah.
I cannot wait to see
them. Like on the middle stage.
I'm going to be in the front crying, seeing all the lyrics. If I can bring my girls with me, I'm going to have one of them on this shoulder, one of them on this shoulder, the other one in a baby carrier, and we're just all going to be fucking driving. If I can get all of us on stage, if I just throw my kids on stage and they make it, the fucking
guys? What do we do about to reach out to the Dying Wish fans? To when's this show? When the show's happening?
I think they're going to be playing in the Observatory pretty soon. I don't know exact date, but when they
just get it out there as a viral campaign. Get him and his daughters up on stage at that show. Get people involved. Yes,
for Dying Wish involved.
Like take signs with you or something. I don't know. We'll figure out a way. But like, try to spread that as a thing, and then get you fucking on stage. That'd be epic.
That'd be fucking phenomenal.
All you gotta do is tell him to play the only reason I'm interested. On stage. his daughters play, like, I'll get home and they jump out and scare me. I'm like, oh shit. You know, they have this game called Ninja they do where they run around our house. It's funny, they're all scaring the shit out of us. So we can just tell them to play Ninja on stage. So
Exactly.
Ninja on stage. Play Ninja on stage.
All I gotta say is Sinister, for all three of you guys, we're gonna have you individually on the podcast to talk about your guys' stories.
Oh, I'm fucking down for that, bro.
Yeah, honestly, we all have fucking a lot of trauma. So
I've been dead.
We live in a house of heartbreak.
I call my house it's the house of throwaways because they're like, hey, they don't want you? Come on over.
Bring it on in, bro. We got a spot for you somewhere.
We'll take your tired. You're hungry.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I gotta say? I know everyone.
He's almost been dead. I've been dead. Had to be paddled back to life at 15.
You've been paddled?
Yeah.
Tell us about being paddled, man. Come on.
paddled.
This is why we do this.
Yeah. LSD overdose at 15 years old.
Oh, shit. 15 years old.
Yes, you can overdose on acid, guys.
15 years old. Of course. You're 15 years old.
Yeah.
15.
They had to paddle me back to life and everything.
Damn.
So, this past Wednesday, 10 years clean and sober, man.
Nice. Congratulations.
I'd be dead by now if I didn't quit drinking and drugging, man, for sure.
I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum where the dangerous element of it is like I'm so good at moderating how I drink.
Yeah.
That it's like, you know what I mean? I'm just kind of like, it's never been a problem. I'm not violent. I mean, you know what I mean?
He's a tactical drunk.
Yes, exactly. I could just continue to drink.
You're what we call a normie.
Yeah, a normie? I'll take it. That's the first time anyone's ever called me a normie. I'll fucking take it.
He's like welling up right now.
I'm just a fucking weirdo.
I feel related to.
It's fantastic.
What was that like, man? Coming back. I mean, I know a lot of people describe it differently or whatever, but like would you say you felt like you crossed over, did your whole thing and then came back?
My question.
That's what I'm curious about.
Sober?
No, I'm saying the paddle thing. I mean, coming.
Oh, that. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was at a party at 15 years old and we like were drinking and smoking weed. Me and my drummer at the time, we planned to pay for a drop of acid. It was like $5 at this party. You know, a lot of older kids were 15.
Too cheap for acid even back then.
Yeah. I'm like a serial was. But so my buddy took his, right? We paid $5 each. So I took, obviously the guy giving it to me is all fucked up, right? Yeah. So it's a party.
I got you, Nathan.
Yeah. So he like pours it in my mouth.
At 15, you don't think about these things.
Yeah. So I'm like one gulp, two gulps, and then the third one is like came a little bit out of my hands. I'm like,
And they're looking at me like, oh shit. I'm like, whatever, I'll just get more high. Cool, I got more money's worth, right? Mind you, you pay $5 for an eye drop's worth. That's what does the trick. So yeah, I woke up in the hospital.
Woke up. So you don't remember any of the...
Blackout. That's what I'm getting to that. So I'm like, where the hell am I? Like, that was a waste. I just fell asleep and dreamt the whole night. So as I started remembering things and people would tell me about things that happened, I'm like, oh, that's when I thought I was dreaming this. I was awake seeing you all thought this it was shit a dream. Happen. And I thought oh, it shit. Was a, all a dream.
Fuck. That yeah. is intense.
I mean, I had crazy feel-good wow. things. I'm pretty sure there's an orgy involved at one point.
And I like that. I remember that part. My friends. My friends. Shut the fuck up, Johnny.
And after the party, like,
just let it be for the record, I said I like that. John didn't say I like that.
My friends ended up dumping me in my neighbor's driveway afterwards and because they were scared because I was fucking done.
Yeah, get these motherfuckers
out of
here.
And they fucking threw and took off. And
deuces.
Yeah, my friends ran out. My friends, he lived next door. My best friend, I've known my literally since we were babies. We lived next door. So his sister's friend ran out. And I guess I bit her in the face.
Oh my God.
Fucking zombie mode.
My mom ran out from next door. You know, I'm piecing all these stories together for months, remembering my dreams. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, okay. And then my mom said, like, I swung at her. So she hit me with the cordless phone. And then I ran full speed into the screen door of my house, fell into the flower box, banging my head against the wall. And I think that was the time where it was like pink and blue bodies everywhere. And they were all just like going. I could feel like the pleasure, right? It was like sexual orgasmic pleasure. But then there were other points where, like, I was in my room, I guess, waiting for the hospital. My mom doesn't know what's going on. My dad's on his bowler tour in Vegas. You know, I'm living in, you know, Laverne, LA County, California. So, and another time, a giant rat dog came through my doorway and started eating me, and I could feel the pain.
Are you just quoting the Tim Robinson sketch now?
No.
A rat dog is exactly how it
is. I mean, I could feel the pain. Another moment of that, my mom walked into my room, started hacking me up with an axe. Mind you, this is what Jesus I'm seeing.
It's all in
but your nerves, I'm feeling the pain. Like, your mind is so crazy on the acid, it makes you feel this shit. And so this is nuts. I mean, these are just a taste of all this shit that
happened. If I could give
happened.
A PSA to the children and underage people watching out there.
Acid is fun.
Do not do... the drugs this man did.
Do all the other ones.
Do not do them the way he did them. It's fine. Otherwise,
I didn't take that much on purpose.
I approve of this message.
I approve of this PSA.
As a teenager, you think you're an adult. I knew everything.
Oh, looking you knew back, everything at 15.
I have three children. My youngest is 17, man. Because I was a baby having babies. I had my first kid when I was 19.
You're crazy raising kids.
But just like you. And so, like, but looking back, I'm like, my kids are like babies to me, you know? It's like, yeah, I still see their baby faces.
Looking back on being 15, I was a child.
I didn't know shit. I mean, I still don't know shit. But the difference is now I don't know shit. No, I don't know shit. But when I was a teenager, I didn't know shit and I didn't know I knew shit.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean? No, I honestly, I
you guys don't know shit about what I'm saying.
As quickly as you said that, I followed you. I did follow you. I'm going to try to do it back to you. I'm not going to do it as good. When I was a teenager, I didn't know shit and didn't know I didn't know shit. Mm-hmm. But when I'm an adult, now I know that as a teenager, I did not know shit. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. And right now, I still don't know shit.
Fuck. It's hard to follow, but it's there.
And I still don't know shit as an adult now, but at least I'm aware that
you
I don't
knew
know shit.
You don't know shit.
I know some stuff. Yeah. But I don't know everything. I'm still learning, right?
Yeah.
So we all are.
But. Yeah, no, I mean, to me, like, I look back on all that era of my life, you know, let's bring it full circle to being musicians, right? And then kind of relate it to that whole concept. When you wrote music back then, you know, you just had just this life to it that was just natural. It feels like it was spat out. You know, just came naturally. And now we're adults and we just overthink every element of it.
That's exactly what
I wrote some trippy shit back then.
Trust me.
That's weird. You know, you listen to music from back in the day, whether it be, you know, old recordings or whatever, or live performances, and you're like, how did I do that?
Yeah. I had like the lyrics.
I have a theory on that. I think it's just like in our youth, we have our curiosity asks these questions and we write about it. You know what I mean? We write about it in such a profound way that as an adult, it's like we can't capture that again because now at this point we're seasoned. We know how faulty the world is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then at that point, you just have a different sort of angst towards the world compared to a young man.
I think it comes from a lot of, I like to chalk it up to the word naivety, right? And it's like people use that in a negative connotation.
Yeah, naive.
But when you're naive to even like the processes of how to write a song, sometimes that's how you make something unique and creative.
That's exactly what it is, bro. Because like you gotta,
you're not afraid.
Yeah, you're not afraid.
You just do what you think you need to do to make the song happen.
You kind of gotta put yourself back in that specific time frame and be like, "What the fuck was I thinking about?
Was it afraid to be canceled?"
And then now, when you're older, you can think about that shit, but put it in a structured elements where everything plays out.
High five with the foot, bro.
But yeah, no, like I said, I think that's something that comes along with adulthood is we try to structure things more. We see behind the curtain a little bit and we're like, okay, well, this band did it this way. Maybe that there's something to that. When in reality, it's not about chasing that. It's about literally that young, angsty period of your life, creating something unique and different and kind of cracking that code, you know, capturing that lightning in a bottle.
Music's all feeling, man.
Like, right.
If you don't feel it, it's not going to work, man. Like half of the songs that we have off of A Later Pandemic, Nico wrote when he was like a teenager. So it gives that 2000s nostalgic to it. So now that we're branching everything out and every band member that we have comes from a different genre, walk of life. So now that we're all forming together, like it's funny because he always calls us like the Avengers of the fucking metal scene because we're gonna crack into
who's who of the Avengers then.
Exactly.
Who's the Iron Man? Who's the Hulk? You know,
this is Iron Man right here. So, like our bassist is fucking a hardcore guy. I'm a thrasher beat down guy. Nico is a fucking a new metal guy. Our guitarist is like a death metal guy, and our vocalist Jackie, she comes from like Joan Jett and all of them. So and our original drummer, he was more like a new metal type guy. So now that we have pop punk. So now that we put all of those elements together, we basically put the Avengers together, and that's what Breaking Serenity and is now.
Isn't that what it's sort of about? Creating a new sound.
I dropped something. You're good.
You tell here.
I think I put the lid on it.
That's seed.
Did I succeed?
Yes. He's good.
He's subconsciously successful.
That was some adventure.
But yeah, no, I think that's where the sauce is, man. And it's like there's all different kinds of ways you could do it, but that's definitely one of the good steps of doing it. You get five good musicians that all find an expertise in this part of what they do as far as music goes, whether it be playing guitar, playing bass, arranging songs, playing drums, whatever it is. You get a bunch of people to collaborate on something, you're going to get a better product.
Exactly.
And you do when just one person does this thing and spits out what they think a song should sound like, which is what we mostly get.
Bro, this guy gets us so well. Yeah.
But no. I mean, I feel like that's like a huge element. We talk about this shit all the time, man. Yeah. This is the philosophical element of this podcast. We try to dig into music and what makes good music, what makes, you know, hackneyed music.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's all I got.
Yeah, because one of the ongoing, like I always say this, I'm a broken record here. One of the ongoing things is because I'm going to ask you directly. You write a lot. Especially as a guitarist, do you write it for you? Or do you write it for the common listener?
I write it for me, but if I write it with feeling, so if it's for me, you'll feel that shit. If that makes sense, you know?
Like, and it always resonates.
Yeah, because I feel like you can't please how, people. How
does that process, I have their songs stuck in my head all the fucking time.
How does that process
time.
Usually go? You write something at home by yourself, you show it to your other members, and they're like, that shit rules, let's move forward? Or
the funny thing about that, he'll be writing stuff in his room, and I'll hear it, and I'll go into the living room like, nigga, that's a fucking sick, man! And he'll just poke his head out the door like, you heard that? And I was like, fucking run with it, bro. Don't stop. He's like,
you know, what, you know what's funny about it? I see the red on his face right now because that's a whole thing where he knows he could be writing in his headphones or he could be writing in his speakers and he does it on purpose. He's like, all right, let's see if I get a response here.
He'll turn it up like 2 decibels. He'll go down the hallway a little bit just to get a response.
Yeah.
I'm always like, fuck yeah. And he's like, you heard that? I'm like, you bet your sweet ass I heard that.
From your room, you're writing?
Is that what it was? That was a song.
That was a sample.
That was a song. Okay.
When you write, is it just like live guitar just or is kidding. It just you retract it as you go?
It's kind of like a fusion process because I think it's kind of shifted more recently to like a more now like a assembly line kind of thing. Because before when the album came out, Sid had like all this stuff already laid out. So we were all, like I said, sorry, not the backpedal, but we were all going through personal shit. So we kind of already had
where good music comes from.
Yeah, it was already thrown out there. But I think now more like, you know, you've
hammered out like the process that you guys go through to make a song happen.
Now for our viewers, some of our viewers are aspiring musicians and producers and such. Unpack that a little bit. What is the process that it takes you from A to B to envision something and make it something attainable? You know what I mean? As a writer,
don't be scared, man. If you got something and you personally like it and you know it's going to get somewhere, fucking do it. As soon as you start putting in your head that somebody else is going to like it, you're already fucking losing. This guy's had his shit prior, like years before I even met him. And I heard 2 songs and I was like, let's fucking run with it. I didn't ask him his opinion. He didn't ask me for my opinion. He's like, here, bro, check it out. And we fucking doing it. And now, you know, fast forward 5 years later, we have a whole networking community of people that not only thrive off of our music, but we thrive off of their music. And that's where we're still trying to get to a certain point. Like if we see that you have commitment, conviction, strategy, and like you can persevere, we will personally go to you and be like, let's do something. And then most of the time, they're like, oh, I don't know if we can do this. Fuck that. We're going to do this. We're going to get your shit out because we believe in you. We see what you don't, and we're going to strive to get you to where you want to be. We're all about homies helping homies. We'll get our that homies rules. To get out honestly, before I'll say we
right
get
now,
out.
That fucking rules. That's kind of the principles that I really truly stand on. I think that we're in this burgeoning era, and it's taking a long time, which is disappointing. But we're in this fucking burgeoning era where we have all, as individual artists and musicians, been given the power to do this shit ourselves.
Exactly.
And now as we slowly make it happen, and like I said, it's a slow process, but you see the communities building around it, and we're competing with these people who have, you know, hundreds and you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and sometimes millions of dollars to throw into a single band to make sure that they're successful. And it's like, no, dude, I don't fucking care about that shit. I don't care about how much money you have. If your music is sterile, if it's serialized, I don't give a fuck about it. I'm less interested in it. I want to hear the new. I want to hear people like
That's
you guys making music
exactly.
from the heart, from the ground up. That's what I'm about. That's right. That's the shit I think that that's what makes true art and really good shit, man.
Yeah, because I mean, we look like we're put together, but we live check by fucking check. Bro.
I was going to say, you do not look like you're put together, but it's fine.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear, bro. Like, we look like we're something, but we live check by check. We do everything how we need to and stuff, but it's just the music has been the biggest avenue for us to get to show our own personalities, to show how well we are. And I think that's where people start to like branch out with us even more to be like, we got to fuck with them and we'll fuck with you just as much as you fuck with us.
Yeah. And no, I mean, I like I said, I respect the fuck out of that, man. That's the hustle. We're going to talk and exchange more information after the podcast because we are on the same thing. I mean, I don't know about these fucking assholes, but we're on that. No, but yeah, no, I appreciate, like I said, that hustle.
Fuck you guys.
A little callback. It's a little callback. Yeah,
you just got to go for things, man. I mean, a few years ago, I mean, not to pat myself on the back, but like the few accomplishments we've done, you know, just getting on the radio, getting our national act first, you know, third and fourth show already coming up. A few years ago, dude, I gave up on music like 12 years. Dude, didn't fucking play guitar.
Actually, I relate, man.
I didn't even want to play guitar. In there.
You're talking yeah, to a 37.
Not me.
Yeah.
Talking to a 37-year-old man who, yeah, I mean, I relate to you in the sense that like you never give up. You like it's always like there. You play guitar. Or there's something that keeps you tethered to it. But yeah, man, no. I mean, I was in bands like around 2017. I was in two touring bands and I was recording with Craig Owens and Jordan DeSorbo. And so I was hustling.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was making it happen. And then, you know, I got disenfranchised, discouraged and pulled out of the game. And I was like, yep. You know what? I'm just going to fucking do the thing that makes me money. And yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Yep.
And that's the thing that I think that, you know, the scene is this ever adapting, ever evolving thing. And we've watched a bunch of people of our age who had all this passion for it about a decade ago just be like, no, fuck that, dude. I want to do this and I'm still going to do this.
Yeah, you know? Just if you can tell yourself you're going to do it, just you can do it, man. Yeah. It's not, you know.
Absolutely. So what do you have to say about that, Johnny?
This is what I got to say. Do you guys
fucking
are
super
you,
interesting? So, as far as
do you guys understand the board bitch's role now?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. All right,
I just want to make sure
you guys understand.
It's literally gonna be a joke that gets stale eventually, but it hasn't gotten stale yet. So.
It never will. It never will be. All I got to say is. Do you guys remember the Pink Ranger?
Yes! Let's go! I'm down.
I went to school with the White Ranger. Are we talking about Power Rangers?
Yeah. Power Rangers, yeah.
I went to school with the White Ranger. He went to my high school.
Yeah, Jason David Frank.
Yeah, he was a few years ahead
AKA
of me.
AKA Tommy.
He's a little taller than me, but yeah.
R.I.P.
I mean, R.I.P., yeah, obviously. You know, we're not making bad jokes on the dead's name, obviously, but shut the fuck up, Johnny. I'll fight you right now.
What are you going to say about the
pink? You want me to pull out my medallion? You want me to pull out my fucking Tyrannosaurus Rex right now?
Hey, Johnny, go to me.
What did you have to say about the pink?
She's got music.
Amy Jo Johnson.
The pink's got music?
Pterodactyl.
She's got music. So we're going to take a listen right here, right now, on the Sewell podcast.
Let's listen to
Amy Jo Johansson.
Amy Jo Johansson.
What's on your brain right now?
No, I'm thinking Scarlett.
Scarlett Johansson is on my brain right now. No. You know what I'm saying?
What a pervert.
Always.
I know what you're thinking. Anything perverted. But,
So we're gonna check out her music. You guys down for this or what?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Let's hear it.
I mean, Anthony, this is Anthony's shit.
Let's check it out. Let's see what she's got going on. She's what, like 50 now?
I don't know.
Based on the picture alone, would.
Her band's called Sunlit.
I think that's the song title. Song. It's her. She's a solo artist now. Okay. And when you crash,
you burn. Wait, this is a cover, right?
When you burn. Okay.
It's good. It's actually good, right?
She's got a pretty voice.
Am I crazy? That's actually good?
She has
we stopped it?
Right off the bat.
I have to stop it every once in a while.
Just in that little snippet. That little snippet you played, I do feel like she has put a lot of thought into...
And this is not her only song. She has a bunch of songs.
Yeah. So my instance, as coming from like a producer standpoint, she put a lot of thought into the way she's projecting herself, the way she's her usage of notes and stuff, just for the composition of the singer-songwriter style that she's doing right here.
There's a country style there.
Yeah.
I love the instrumentation to this one. She's done some other more simple stuff, like real just straightforward acoustic stuff and piano stuff. And this is like the more produced one that she's
jump ahead. Out. Jump ahead a little bit. Let's just gotta get the show moving.
I'm gonna be honest, I have a complete bias. I'm gonna always fight for...
Come on, let's be honest. It's the same shit over and over.
You always fight for the Rangers?
Right, always. That's not good. That's pretty good.
It's not good.
I can listen to like fucking Billie Eilish to Whitechapel. So like, I listen to everything.
I mean, as far as musicians in this room, people who know music, good produced music, bad produced music, it's not in the bad produced music category.
No, I think it's pretty.
It's not this shit. I don't hear this bitch anymore. All right.
Echo would like to hear her voice just like on an acoustic guitar. Though,
I just thought she has other tracks where it's just her and the acoustic or her and the piano and she's singing.
Okay, I want all you guys' opinions on this band. Johnny, just do Never Tell real quick. I just want to punch through some band.
That's a cool name.
Any song.
I like it. One word.
You can never tell
whether they're good or not.
Let's see what we got.
There's nothing you could tell. Never. Uh-oh.
I like this already.
I like the visuals.
Linkin Park right now? Almost the intro.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Heard it before.
Mick, this is what you brought? This is what you brought right here?
Suck a dick. How about that?
He already knows.
Okay.
Reminds me of some shit that Architects has already done.
I never heard this before.
I'm seeing them pretty soon. Architects.
I love Architects.
I'm going to Mayhem Festival and they're playing it.
Nice. Very nice. What's the date on that?
October 12th.
So I like the song. I'm on vacation that week. Yeah. I might.
I like the song.
If I find the funds and there's still tickets, I might attend that shit.
Tickets are like $35.
Ginger's playing. I love Ginger, man. I love Ginger.
Wait, when was that?
Saturday, October 12th,
I hate Ginger, and I don't listen to them, but I just like hate the idea.
That's not bad.
They brought Mayhem Festival back.
I love Ginger.
Ginger's, what's good about Ginger?
Ginger is really good on
Yoshinoya teriyaki bowls. It's really good.
We're talking about Ginger.
We actually ran into the singer of Ginger and Corona at a local bar recently. Remember that?
Oh yeah, she came to one of our shows we threw at Rockefeller's in Corona.
My singer.
All right, then I'm a fan. To me, I've always just had this weird thing where it's like she comes across as like a Billie Eilish type.
She's
in the genre, and it's like,
I definitely would.
Isn't she like 17?
No, bro, you gotta put on teacher.
Oh, it's Ginger.
That's the shit.
She's so good. I don't like you as border bitch because you always like pull up shit to prove a point.
Shut up. Hey. She's like the
Oh,
Gwen,
you know what
Shimano's
I'm thinking
dope.
Of? I'm actually an idiot right now.
Yes, we
I'm
already
thinking
know
of
that.
Poppy. I'm thinking of Poppy, not Ginger. I'm thinking of Poppy. I'm
it's
sorry,
like
guys.
It's completely different.
I apologize. I'll shut up for 5 minutes.
Real quick.
You got to hear a scream, bro.
Tati from Ginger. Tatiana. Definitely would. And let's continue.
Shout out Johnny's girlfriend.
Shut up. She won't like that.
I'll like that. Where's the sign up sheet? Pass it around.
Yeah, I don't hate this.
I still think
Rolo Tomasi's better, but.
Wait, whatever. You haven't heard her scream, though.
They have one of the best fucking bass
players. She's the beast.
You
dude.
Need to play her scream. Teacher, by Ginger. That's the shit.
She can scream.
Teacher, scream.
I speak a shot on me, dude.
She's about to right now. Hold up.
You said she was about to. Gay.
shut up.
Fine. You don't know shit.
Doing shit in like 4 a.m.
Fine. It's fine. It's fine. Nah, it's fine.
What do you have to say about this?
Okay.
I have to say this, and it's the one sentence I'll say. Rollo Tomasi is better.
Oh, I mean, that's like different, though.
You gotta hear how low she can go, dude. I mean, I
Teacher is like the best songs to get her whole fucking range, bro. Just can I up and down.
Yeah, that was that was a good song, but not her.
I'm gonna be absolutely honest here. Because of the whole boppy confusion, I don't think I've ever heard Ginger before today.
Talking mad shit, never heard it.
Exactly.
I don't think I've heard Poppy.
Poppy's good.
Everybody shut the fuck up.
No, I do like that. Immediately I'm in. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to suck her dick, though.
Look,
this is that's all the instrumental that I love. I love the instrumental.
They're very progressive. They swish everything up.
I love that.
They even have a song that's like, there's a reggae part. You know, they have like constantly changing shit. I like shit like that.
I got to listen to more Ginger. I got to get into
this
Ginger.
This song specifically.
Did you guys listen to Rollo Tomasi?
I have no idea who that is.
But this song plays Rollo Tomasi, bro.
Animals as leaders.
No.
Rollo before.
Oh.
Who are you talking about?
Rollo Tomasi. Play, you're going to have to fast forward, but just play Drip. That song is fucking insane good.
That's not Animals as leaders. Drip?
No.
Oh, you're talking about totally. Isn't this the guitar player from,
Hey guys.
She's married to the lead singer or the old lead singer of Number 12's Looks Like You.
You guys got to bounce.
Yeah, hey guys.
We're wrapping real quick. Yeah. Fast forward. Just go to the end or something.
Oh, right here in the middle.
Aw.
Are we going to drop plugs at all?
We're about to.
We did that?
Okay.
Who's this?
Rollo Tomasi.
Rollo.
Is something going to happen yet, or?
For those who have attention spans, yeah.
I mean, we've all heard paradiddles, so.
Oh, how
is
it?
It's a good build-up.
That was sick. Yeah. I didn't expect it.
And that shit gets melodic again. It's so good. And they're everything they do, it's like very mainstreamy sounding, but it's also polyrhythms up the ass. It's like fucking crazy writing. It's awesome.
I don't hate it.
If you don't make a disgusting face, you're a piece of shit.
All right, cool. We'll close on Rollo Tomasi because they're better than Ginger.
Not even.
All right. How do you want to do plugs? How do we, you want
to
start?
Let's go with left to right. We'll start from there. Go ahead.
For sure. Make sure you guys follow us on all streaming platforms and social media, Breaking Serenity. I got it right there. There's our smile. That's our main logo.
Nice.
Breaking Serenity. There's our QR code. I don't know how the fuck to do this, but.
You'll put it on the screen.
Yeah.
I like that.
We have.
I like that logo.
I got it tatted on my motherfucking knee, so I'm branded. That's how deep I am with this band. If you don't like one song, listen to the whole fucking album. There's something in there for everybody,
which is
super dope. 17 songs, so if you don't find something, you can kiss my fucking ass, and I'll find you in the pit for sure. Because
you're being disrespectful. Like, I'll put on my lipstick for you, dude.
Please make it black.
This is Breaking Serenity we have in the background.
Keep on talking, guys. Play it out with that.
But yeah, we're fucking all over the place, man. We're super humble people. If you guys want to talk to us, we like to talk. We don't like handshakes and fist bumps. We like to hug. So if you see us, you better come with the hugs because I love hugs. I don't know about you guys. But we're all over the place. We're fucking Brandy.
Oh, no. Chaos has broken out on the podcast.
They don't call them Sinister Styles for nothing.
All right, Nico, go for it.
Come check us out at Stages next Saturday, Santa Ana. with the Young
Blood. October
5th. October 5th.
Saturday, yep. October 5th.
Yep. 11 bands, Breaking Serenity, Vixen Pole Fitness. There's a bunch. You're going to put the flyer probably on the screen. Check that shit out.
Yeah.
Any social medias you want to plug?
No, he got them all.
Follow me on Instagram, sinisterstyles_. You can follow Nico, Dark Canvas.
There you go.
Dark Canvas. And, Breaking Serenity official on Instagram. You guys can go to all of us individually. You can message all of us. We like to talk to people. Just don't come with some weird shit, unless it's towards me. I like the weird shit.
Well, you know me already, so yeah. I'm gonna come at you with some weird shit and it should be okay, right?
I'm with the business, bro.
Hell yeah, he fucks with it. I love it.
I love all of it.
What about you, Nate?
Youngblood Productions USA on Instagram. And that goes to all the bands. If you want, I book all genres of bands.
You got 30 seconds. Plug a bunch of bands. Go. Like, shot down a bunch of bands to plug. Go,
bands,
go.
Hit us up for booking. Youngblood Productions USA on Instagram and Facebook. If you like Slipknot, I'm looking for members for Slipknot Tribute. I got gigs waiting for us. And
what positions are you trying to fill?
I am recruiting members right now. I'm the vocalist. I sang
so
in
you're looking for guitar, drums, bass, all that stuff?
Everything. Hit me up. I haven't decided on anything yet, so just starting a new one. And October 30th, the Whiskey A Go-Go, New School. If you like new metal, it's a Halloween costume party. It's a big show. Danzig Tribute's playing. I'm also singing there. We have like guest appearances like coming up as well, like Jimmy Trigger from A Trigger Within and some other bands too. So, oh, and then Aaron and that plays bass is in Stitched Up Heart. And he has a lot of great people. It's going to be a good time. If you want to come out and wear your costume an extra day that week, Wednesday, October 30th.
Is there going to be any problem if someone shows up, let's say, dressed up as Michael Myers and then just stays in character as Michael Myers like the entire time, like doesn't say anything or interact with anybody? And
come
just
down, costume party.
Okay.
Nostalgic.
That won't be me. Yeah. Go ahead, Mick.
Hey, guys. I'm Mick Stradamus on Instagram. Got a new track out called Lullaby on Spotify. And I got to everything. I don't know why I just said Spotify. I use Spotify.
Anyways, is the main one. It's the one main you have to say. If you say Spotify, then YouTube and Amazon and Apple. iTunes are implied.
By proxy, yes. Right. new music coming out soon from The Dunce, new EP. Very soon. We are having a little bit of hiccups right now, but we are going to figure that out. And release really soon. Anywho, Cherry Coyote with this guy. We're working on a new project essentially with this.
He's humble here. He's working on it. He's writing an awesome project with his awesome songs and stuff. I've done very little except for encourage him and play bass for him, and that's it. That's it. It's Cherry Coyote, brilliant project coming up soon. We're gonna play some shows.
Mm-hmm. What you got?
Check out.
Shut the fuck up! It's not your turn.
No, I'll go last. I don't give a fuck. I got a lot to plug. Go
ahead.
Go. Go ahead. No, you go.
No,
you go.
You go ahead.
No, you go.
Poor
go Johnny. Ahead. Go ahead. No, Johnny. No, I insist. You go. 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 Johnny. Go.
Check out The Dunce. We have a new EP coming out. Me and this guy over here. And check out my band, DNG Heavy. We got a new EP coming out. It's going to be sick. A lot of slap and pop in this album for me, which is fun. I recorded two tracks 2 days ago. That's going to be fun. It's crazy. A little bit of a hardcore, a little bit of metalcore, a little deathcore, a little new metal. A
little gay.
A little bit of gayness. I appreciate you guys checking out the pod. And let's go back to Anthony's bitch ass. Here we go.
All right, to close it out. Okay, so I do have a bunch of plugs, so I'm going to try to go through them fast. Dead Widow CA, that's my band. Follow us on there. We have a live stream this upcoming Friday with DM Tower Sessions on Friday at 7 p.m. Please, everybody who wants to tune into that, please come help us out. It's going to be an hour-long thing. We're going to play our whole set of all of our songs that we write and have made, as well as a bunch of covers to fill the hour set. It's going to be a blast. We're playing the Whiskey on October 27th with Poet, Wise Men Say, Whispers of Torment. I just launched my Patreon for the Nerdworthy page, and it's a $5 tier and an $8 tier to either, you know, be part of what, you know, contributing to the comic book stuff that I'm doing, or you know, just watching it all happen, hearing extra podcasts. That's about it. My buddy Corey's band. He's got a record coming out. It's called Nefarious, and his project is called Witch, and it's 17 tracks. I produced it for the most part, and it's pretty awesome. I'm stoked on it. That's it. Johnny, close us out.
We appreciate you guys coming out. Check out that. Right? This way.
That way.
Check out that link. Self-infected, infected fest, or Breaking Serenity, and the Vixen Pole Dancing Fitness. It's going to be pretty sick. It's going to be a big festival. All these guys right here that we have on the pod are all a part of it.
Make sure you guys come to Two Step out.
This Saturday, guys.
Stages. This Saturday. That means 2 days from when this drops. Big festival coming up. Make sure you guys are there. I'll be there. So come hang out with me. Appreciate you guys. Thank you guys very much. Thank you guys for coming on the pod. We're going to definitely have all of you guys individually on the podcast, because I think that'll be a fun episode.
Yeah, we got a day in the individual stories.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Love it.
Thanks, yo.
Breaking Serenity. Self-inflicted. This song is dope.
This is gonna be our main song there.
This is the part right here.
Self-inflicted motherfucking rush.
Love it.
Nothing I will ever be.
Oh, we got a live performance in studio. Our first ever live performance in studio. Hell yeah.
I am worth it.
We'll be playing that one live. Make sure you guys check it out. It was seen on 96.7 KCAL Rock. Shout out Mike Z.